In 1955, we called it another recital. We called two pianos. We called it a return bout. at that time, Courtney Garden had two boxes, one on each side of the two pianos, full with sand, and a couple of boxing gloves on each piano. And the program read at the bottom said, Mr. San Romain at the ball ring uses the left jab, and Mr. Gephardt at this time uses the right uppercut. Then I gave a recital in 1937 at the 100th annual dinner. Then, of course, to my delight and all of the members' delight, it was ladies' night, a couple of nights, and I played one of those. Then I had two annual dinners in 1941 and 42, of which I remembered some very, very vivid facts. In one of them, right upstairs we were now, Woodworth, Woody, and Dr. Davison, together with two other singers. They get all dressed up. I was always cooking ideas like this. That was only the beginning of that evening later here, upstairs. And they went around dressed as waiters, singing the bill of fare, a song called The Bill of Fare, for vocal quartet on a company. Not just selling all of what you good things to have at dinner. And that was feathering my cap. At another time, we had variations on Tati. Tati variations, the Russian variations in which chopsticks, one of them plays up at nauseam. Well, anyway, I managed to get in one of the last numbers. Everybody played in these things. I got them all to play. Even Dr. Hugo Leichtentritt came up walking very lightly up here, and he played one. But the last number was the really two of the force. One of the variations was for four hands at one piano. Well, I made it eight hands at one piano, so I had four persons sitting there. And my idea was to get as much of different musical professions together to show that there was harmony here at the HMA. So I got, it was Aaron Richman, the manager, said, one side. The Williams was the critic of the Boston Herald then, so we had the manager, critic, Walter Piston, composer, myself as the pianist, and we had Malcolm Holmes then conducting, to have also the conductor. It was not necessary to conduct. We all five got together, and it was very harmonious. So far for one of the numbers, of course, with Dr. Werner Müller playing the double bass, and I was playing the piccolo myself. Elephant and the Flea, that was the title. That's how that piccolo story got started out there. You know, who called this a piccolo play? All right. Now, before I go on, I want to relate a couple of Boston-connected stories that happened to me since I left Boston. One of them is when President Kennedy came to Puerto Rico, I think it was a couple of years ago. He was in a big banquet at the Fortaleza, the governor, Muñoz. And after the banquet, I was invited to be the only music that evening. Casals was there, so I sat down at the piano and what would be the most appropriate thing? So I started with the Bach Partita. After that, I played a couple of Puerto Rican dances. I may play them for you later tonight, Kennedy Fair. And after that, I I ended up with my own disarrangement of the Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin. Well, after I got through, of course, you all know about Salinger. Not only can he walk a couple of feet a day, he also played the piano. He used to be a child prodigy up to 10 years old or something, anyway. It didn't last very long in those days. He still plays a little bit at night when he's not too tired and when nobody's listening. And I said, when I get through, Mrs. Kennedy, of course. anyway, he almost jumped out of her seat or something. But when it came to him, he said, "You know, if you could learn to be a good press secretary, I would fire that guy." The other one refers to a very well-known Boston figure. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. Mayor Tobin. That's the way I know him from the beginning. Mayor Tobin. I first met him at the Boston Garden in one of these music quizzes that they used to have, the Boston Pop Squad one time at the Boston Garden. 16,000 people answering music questions. Can you imagine that? And there was the then mayor of Boston. And I met him. And right away, I had one of those quirks of puns, you know. I'm very, very fond of puns, pan-American puns. Worthy of the penitentiary. But then anyway, so I immediately thought of one and said, "Tell me, Mayor Tobin, are you related to Beethoven?" So he thought he was answering me straight, not getting my joke, and I thought that he was getting it. He said, "Beethoven." I said, "To Beethoven, are you related to Beethoven?" And he said, "Well, oh yes, to the Bad Beethovens." Of course, he meant Bach Bay, and I understood Bach Bay. And I said, "Well, that makes you a Brahmin, doesn't it?" To which he said, "Yes," and he never knew what I meant. And Fiedler was just in stitches laughing all the time. Anyway, later on. Arthur Fiedler. Later on, Tobin, mayor, governor, then secretary of labor. And in this capacity, he came to Puerto Rico on a visit to play golf and a little vacation. He was guest of the governor, and again I was making music there after supper. I got my supper too. And we will get together. We were at the piano a little bit. He was singing duets with the governor. They were their favorite song called "Old Man River." After that, I was still at the piano and I began to play a little bit. I said, "That's the official hymn of the Department of Labor."
"What do you mean? Stars and Stripes Forever."
He said, "More truth than poetry." But anyway, then we were together. I said, "Mayor Tobin," I still call you Mayor Tobin, "what a come down your political career has been lately." The governor, "What do you mean? What is it?" I said, "Well, let me explain. You see, at first he was the honorable mayor of Boston. Later on, he was His Excellency, the governor. And now you're nothing but Mr. Secretary. So for the two Bostonian stories, and I must tell one more before I shut up and play. I have one coming later in connection with something that's coming up. Yes. Of course, very often they say, how many rehearsals have you had for a work? I have played about 14 concerti without rehearsal on account of different reasons. But I shall never forget one in which the rehearsal took place 26 days before the performance. I have a witness here tonight. It happened in Cleveland. George Henry Lovett Smith can tell you. I rehearsed the Rachmaninoff second concerto with the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra to be played on the road later on. I just couldn't get together with the conductor because our dates didn't coincide when they were in Cleveland. And so we had to have this rehearsal, I think, sometime in January. And for the following February, we played somewhere down south. Well, we had this rehearsal in the morning. We went right through from beginning to end, no hitch at all, not stopping for nothing. Everything went fine. 26 days later, we did play the concerto, and as if we had just rehearsed the day before. But that I shall never forget, rehearsing the concerto with orchestra 26 days before the performance. And all the time I was asked, how's the largest audience you ever played for, and the smallest audience? Well, I played for 75,000 people out in Grand Park one time, just a sea of faces. I felt like a football player. But the smallest audience was one. I was listening all along. Final story I must have. Traveling in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I came to town. The manager called up the manager right up in the hotel. Why didn't you let me know you were getting in at that train? I would have come meet you and all that. And say, oh, I don't need no brass bands. I'm here. And I just want to tell you I'm here and everything all right. It's fine, fine. We couldn't get you the piano that you wanted. I was bordering was the apple of my eye. And I played bordering. The only pianos, the only two bordering in the state are out, being used by Bronski and Babbitt. New Mexico, only two pianos, they're all state. So I said, but we have a Mason and Hamling here, it's a wonderful instrument, you'll like it very much. I said, I know all about it. Right! Mason and Hamling got screwed. I said, I know all about the Mason and Hamling, I don't have to try the piano. But I'm very worried about the pianos, because I was very fussy then whether I sat 19 inches or 18 inches high, and all. I could just sit down the floor now. So I said, what I'm more concerned about is the height of the piano stool, the piano, whatever you have there. It should be 19 inches high. I'll go up or down half an inch, but no more. You have no adjustable stool? No. I said, well, do you know where it is? I don't know, but I'll go out and measure it. Do you mind if it is a chair or a bench or a revolving stool? I said, I don't care if it's a toilet seat, as long as... He laughed, you know, I said, well, I'll go and see what we have, I'll measure and let you know. So he calls me back about 20 minutes in the hotel and says, it's a bench. I think you said you prefer a bench if we could get one. It's a bench. Wonderful. No squeaks in the leg, right? No. Or it's exactly 19 inches high. Are you happy? Marvelous. Nothing to worry about. I'll be there tonight. He said, now tell me something. Do you want us to make a hole in it? Later, I came back a dentist in town, piano teacher. She invited me to come to lunch to her house. Well, I got there about 12 o'clock. I came in, hello, oh, fine, nice house. Oh, yes, Floyd Wright built one of his private houses around there. Wright house. Oh, look, very lovely. About 5 minutes, he says, would you like to wash your hands? I felt like saying, like that, but I just wash them against the fence. I was like, he's not excellent. About 5 more minutes again, would you like to wash your hands? I said, well, by God, there must be something about it. But, so, all right, yeah, I think I would. I go in there. Of course, that story about the piano student had gone all over town in the meantime. And there was the toilet seat in the cover, one of my window cards with a picture, you know, cut ugly, right in there. Well, I actually didn't even wash my hands, and I came out. I said to her, she was grinning from ear to ear. I see the story now. It's wonderful, wonderful. You got that story. Oh, yes, I remember. I was there. How'd you like it? I said, that's marvelous. I liked so much this idea that I even signed the picture. I said, go take a look. She came in. I had signed the picture. He was looking at you. Well, now my old friend Al Sherman told me to keep it light. So thereby I shot. I was going to play the 57 variations by Max Reger on the theme. I should start with Spanish group. We can't mix some nationalities. El Puerto, from the Sweet Iberia by Alberti. Yeah.